One of America's leading feminists and renowned sociologists, Professor Patricia Hill Collins, admitted that she only began to work on her acclaimed book, Black Feminist Thought, when she obtained a tenured position as a university lecturer and the job security that came with it. In Dublin, she spoke about the role of the public intellectual at a meeting organised by UCD's Women's Studies Outreach Programme.
The day after I got tenure, that's when I started writing Black Feminist Thought. I did not write that book as part of my dissertation. Coming up for tenure, nope. I was definitely stealth deep cover. It was really, oh, let me do this, let me do that. It was all prep work. You know, I saw it, with hindsight, I can see that's what I was doing, even though at the time it was, you know, far more upsetting. It was a lot of stress. But I didn't think I was secure enough to write that book. So I understood tenure as job security and intellectual freedom. And I used it.
And did you hold it in reserve until you got the tenure?
No. Well, I started writing things. I was publishing things. But the whole thing of knowing that I could write that book and knowing that there would be opposition and I had to write it a certain way, I was trying to reach a particular audience. It's traveled far beyond the initial audience because of, the honesty, sort of the truth in the book. You know, speaks to people beyond the particulars of who I was writing to and for in that particular book. But the point here is that the sad thing is that when people get the security, they often forgot why they were doing all this in the first place. So for me, it was a question of, no, do not forget why you're doing this, because there's so many decision points along the way, either wearing you down or, you know, offering you things you didn't think you wanted or just making you suffer. But I knew what I wanted. I wanted intellectual freedom. And I also wanted steady work. I'm working class. I want a job. You pay me. I do two jobs and you pay me for one. I've been extremely clear about that, too, in terms of the academy. So it's, you know, I'm generous, but I'm generous where I want to be generous. I'm not generous all the time at all. So that's another thing. Generous here is like, great, yes, more, I'll give you more. But boy, suck you dry.
Dr. Aidan Quilty, director of the outreach program, who moderated the discussion, identified four key areas of Professor Collins's work on intersectionality as being crucial to our understanding of the public intellectual and the university.
Questions of audience, you know, who's the work for? And this has been a preoccupation, I think, of Patricia's work. You know, this immediate concern with audience, with people, with communicating messages in different ways. Second, to do questions of space, like where, and importantly, where should our work happen? We would all think it should be happening in multiple spaces. The third is questions of purpose. You know, what's the point? What's it for? Is it to contest, to challenge? Is it about transformative knowledges? If it is, these are really important things. How are we going to do that? And that's the final thing, questions of process. How do we do it?
Professor Collins's presentation was fascinating, because it provided a unique insight into the complexities and power relations which exist within our universities. She said this required a great deal of skill to work out, and specifically referred to what she has identified as the politics of inclusion.
I have a doctorate. I've gone to school. I know a lot of stuff. And if I can't understand this, then there's a problem here, all right? So you have to say, who is the audience? Back to the initial question of audience. Around those feminists, and then the stealth feminists, who aren't even identifying themselves as feminist. But what they're doing is really feminist. So you have to develop a whole other set of skills to figure out these relations. This is, you know, when I talked last night about the politics of inclusion. I don't think I mentioned that term, but that's how I look at it. Before, it was the politics of exclusion. Mm-hmm. Keep you out. You cannot come. You cannot attend. You know, stay in your place. But now, it's a question of inclusion, but on what terms? It's much harder to fight because you have to really be more sophisticated in figuring out certain things, mm-hmm. which to me links to all of the attention to identity. So it's not just a question of who am I, you know, sort of reducing questions of identity there, but political identities. So I think these are really big issues that when you're in the academy, to figure out, first of all, how to frame those questions and then what to do about those questions. Because you don't want to have things turn into this internecine kind of girl gang war thing, if you're talking about feminists. Oh, how wonderful. The feminists are having a cat fight. If you're not clear about why you're in a certain space, see, I see these as strategic issues. I really see the question of audience and figuring out how to talk to people and how to really frame it out and all of that. That's difficult, but those are strategic issues. You think to do that if you have a certain purpose in mind. If you don't have a purpose in mind of empowering a certain population or making the world more just, then these questions never occur to you. So you're just going along with the flow. You're thinking, you know, things like telling the difference between someone that's trying to critically engage students in the classroom to be questioning and analytical, and someone who's really teaching a good class that the students love, but they aren't necessarily critical and analytical. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, they've been actually quite well informed and they've been well entertained. And that person may get far better teaching evaluations mm-hmm. than the one mm-hmm. who has really aggravated and annoyed the students. Mm-hmm. Right? So the whole notion of sort of being strategic about when to do what and how to do what under what circumstances. Now, I was fortunate enough to really learn to teach in a free space, in a community school, where we realized that we could be imaginative, we could be creative, we weren't dealing with this huge bureaucracy that was always peering over our shoulder and making us second guess ourselves, which is what I think a lot of us in the academy, for those of you who are not, it's not like it's sort of peaches and cream in the academy. Oh, it's so wonderful being in, no, okay? It's just another space to do the same work. All right, that's how I look at it. So the work of education, the work of critical pedagogy, someone over here asked about the critical pedagogy piece, is where are you going to do, the second question, the space, where are you going to do the work, and how do you recognize the constraints and the opportunities of where you're working? All right, and they're going to be different from place to place. So outside the academy, there are constraints, but there are opportunities to be, in some ways, far more critical than being in the academy, where there may be more certain types of resources opportunities, but there are significant constraints about how one can operate.
Ursula Barry, deputy head of UCD School of Social Justice, spoke for everyone when she thanked Professor Collins for her generosity and courage.
You're incredibly generous, intellectual, academic activist. You're incredibly generous with your time, with your willingness to engage, and with the amount of listening you do in the situation. And the other thing that has struck me is that you're incredibly honest. It's an honesty based on experience and understanding. And I think that honesty and generosity is an incredibly rare gift for us to have been connected to over these 2 days.
And as the women drifted out into the cold March day, I asked them what they had taken from the morning.
I think what I got out, I mentioned before, I found it very nourishing. I found it, it helped me to reflect. She really opened a space for reflection on how do we position, how do we think, and how do we feel as being in spaces of learning and teaching, and as well as being in spaces of theory development and spaces of activism. And if we're in all these spaces, how do we not manage not to get overwhelmed by it, but just being ourselves in those spaces?
When you're looking at a problem in the community, you can no longer look at it from one angle, either from class or for race or for women or for poverty. It has helped me to actually look at any woman's life now that comes into the centre and say, there's this going on, and there's this going on, and there's this going on. So if I'm to solve anything, I have to look at a range of events.
Just hearing someone who's so experienced with such a broad range and somebody in such a prominent position to actually still be able to talk about the potential, untapped maybe, but also different ways of doing things, I thought that was great.
And her irreverent critique of the academy, as we call it. Did you appreciate that?
I love that. You should always be able to bite the hand that feeds you. But I think it's also really important because we, so many of us work alone in isolation, to actually hear other people say things. Not that I'm suggesting that it gives us a license, you know, that we couldn't think for ourselves, but I think it's always reassuring to realise that you're part of that kind of, maybe activism has changed a little bit or that kind of thing. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Oh my God, I really enjoyed Professor Collins' presentation, and I have had a lot of knowledge from his lecture, and I really want to continue my own work that I'm doing, you know, because I believe in women liberation, and I believe in hard work, and I believe in community participation in carrying out our goals.
Getting that change doesn't need to be our end goal. Just informing other people, just talking about it, just questioning what we want to change sometimes is all we can do. We don't actually get to see the change when it happens. It may be generations away, you know. And then the other thing that she said today about minding yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what we hear and what we read about women in Ireland at the moment, you kind of think, I don't have the energy to go into that, and I don't want to go into it and have to leave halfway through the fight before something has happened. So even that, just to mind yourself, to do what you can, and if that's all you can do, that's all you can do, and maybe somebody else has to do the next bit.
I suppose it was a space to be in the room with other like-minded women that I suppose allowed ourselves to take the space and claim it, and I suppose that's what she allowed me to do this morning.
I'm just coming here, I'm on the ground floor of learning. And I have like this, like, oh yeah, we can do this, we can do that, like, we're not stuck here, we can do you know, but then I don't know all about funding and, you know, I don't know the nitty gritty of it. Yeah. But I know what I want. Yeah.
And for Professor Collins, it appears the morning was an equally insightful few hours.
I mean, I think I got a really good sense of the shared issues, but how those shared issues come through from very different backgrounds, really different histories, the activist, academic, the new immigrant, been here forever, the age differences, the... we are disappointed that sort of the people who've been in community work who really thought it was going to continue to get better, all right, because all that energy went into to forming groups and then getting funding and having community centers and then having it taken away, all right, what does that mean? To know, to really have to come to terms with the fact that this all can be taken away. You take your job, my job. I mean, this is what we live with, all right? So knowing that there's an element of risk and never certainty involved in this. So I think, you know, just that's common to know, and to know that you can survive that. Mm. You have to be resilient and resourceful.